Is this thing on?
We are on. It is Uncensored Radio. We're a little bit late, but that's okay. Good things come to those who wait. Isn't that correct, kids? It Absolutely. Is. So vivacious and very lovely Vera is in the top square today. Hello, Vera.
Hello, darlings.
How are you this week?
Oh, it's been a shit week. I'm glad to be here with my loves.
Oh, see, it's decompression session, isn't it? Exactly. We all get do it together and swear and say naughty things and it's good times. Yay! All right. Luscious Luke is with us. How are you?
It's a shit week for me too. How exciting. Can I ever talk about this on air? I'm going to do it. Who cares? There's been an outbreak of something that's not COVID.
Yeah, don't be specific.
Yeah, there's been an outbreak of something that's not COVID where I work. So
chlamydia?
We all are sort of just staying at home right now until that's sorted out. So that's been exciting for me.
Luke's on forced holidays and... Katie Underwood is back in lockdown. Would it be fair to say that these days go on and on and on and on, Katie Underwood?
Oh, these days are going on, but I'm having a ball. Surprisingly, I'm supposed to be miserable in lockdown, but actually it gives me the chance to do stuff that I never usually have time to do, which is sit at the keyboard, make music, rip up old songs, turn them into new things. I'm having a great time.
That's what I was saying.
We are too.
Your vibe is very different this time around, Katie.
I mean, yeah, I've got no money, but other than that, it's actually really fun right now. So I'm just going with it. You know, what's the saying? You know, if you've got lemons, make lemonade. So there's lots of lemonade being made at my house at the moment.
Or drink tequila. Either way, whatever floats your boat. I don't mind a margarita here and there. Whatever the lemons
tequila's
go
dangerous
with.
Stuff.
To kill ya. Yeah. All right, we got lots to talk about we're gonna jump into it. Ready? It's this week's
hot load of hot topics.
Ooh. Okay, where should we begin? I think we have to talk about it straight away because it's part of the name of the episode. Bezos, an old lady, blast off in cock rocket. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, 57, was joined by three others, including 82-year-old female pilot Wally Funk, in the first crewed flight of his rocket ship, New Shepard, just 9 days after Richard Branson launched himself and Virgin Galactic into the billionaire space race. Science or more money than sense? How do we feel, Vera? Come on, Vera.
Those two space flights did more damage to the environment than driving your car one block to work every day. than throwing all your plastics in the lake. The money that they spent, they could have provided vaccines to third world countries. They could have helped the poor. They could have created STEM research scholarships. But no, these two tiny dick wonders got to throw their ass in space in penis-shaped rockets. Jesus Christ.
So you're not denying how phallic that is, right? It's a dick.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's a dick. Katie Underwood, how do you feel about Jeff Bezos' cock rocket?
I really don't know even where to begin. I think I agree with Vera. There's a lot that could be done with the amount of excessive amounts of money these cocks have. So I'm out. I don't know.
Well, look,
I don't know.
Katie,
I got nothing.
Ace, who is one of our regular watchers, says, "Hey, Katie, your music really helps with my anxiety, so thanks for what you do."
So you're Ace welcome. Thank you.
Ace is American, and he's discovered you. So
yes.
Luke, you're familiar with cock rockets. What do you think about Jeff Bezos?
I feel very similar to Katie and Vera. I'm a little bit meh. And it really is a pissing contest between the two of them. It's like, well, I can go this far and my rocket's this good. And it just seems like blah, blah, blah.
They had to point out
a lot more dumb. with that money.
Yeah, they had to point out that Branson didn't actually go to space. That was the big thing. Branson didn't actually go to space. It's like, well, yeah, I'm, it's like the like rocket billionaire version of, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. See, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. It's like, oh, fuck off, idiot. I love that Bezos went back to the Amazon, like, I don't know, what would you call it, hub, and he's like, all of you paid for this. It's like, oh, you are the devil, aren't you, dude? Like, you're like, you are not, like.
Well, was there any advancement to space travel for humanity in general by these exercises? No.
There was not one giant step for mankind. It was one giant penis wag.
Yeah,
right.
Well, look, I'm just happy for Wally Funk. She seems like a cool lady.
Well,
and
yes,
she trained me an astronaut, never got there. And look, she does. If anyone deserved to be hurled into space, it's Wally. So, you know, it's very phallic story. Mm-hmm. Speaking of weirdly phallic, I was hoping Anjou was going to be on today so I could get this reaction. A couple have discovered 18 snakes living under their bed. Before going to bed, I spotted what I thought was a piece of fuzz on the floor. Went to reach for it, and it moved, says Tris Wiltshire, an Augusta resident. The Wiltshire family quickly learned there were 17 babies and a mother snake, the babies recently hatching, making themselves at home under their bed. So Max Wiltshire took a grabber tool and placed each one in a linen bag, and the snakes were later released in a swamp. After further assistance from a snake catcher. The damage was done, though, according to one social media commentator. When the number of snakes outnumber the number of residents, it's time to move. I could think of nothing worse.
Can I just say something here?
Yeah.
So my two daughters are 10, and my pet hate with rooms, like, I don't mind untidiness. I get, like, you know, untidy desk, organized mind. But my pet hate is, like, don't have crap all over the floor because it will attract cockroaches and spiders, which is, like, true, you know. It's not just my opinion. But how next level fucking messy does your room have to be for an entire family of snakes to get under there? Like, honestly, what,
Katie, you've taken it exactly where I was going to go with it. Who mistaken a snake for a piece of fuzz unless there's shit everywhere
in your room? Ooh, how many other dead socks were, like, putrefying on the floor, but that was normal for them? For fuck's sake, people, come on, kitties, clean your room. Let this be a lesson to you. That's all I want to say. I'm going to show my daughters this
unmuted
after and go, yeah, see, yeah. I wasn't lying.
Yeah.
Shit, this happens.
The concerning thing for me is if the mother chose that as a safe nesting place, that means she's found a food source nearby as well.
She's found a whole lot of
so
stuff.
So what else
is
there?
In
what else is there?
Isn't that a very common food source for snakes?
Mice. Probably. And who knows? Who knows? I'm very frightened by it.
I feel dirty just talking about this.
We love to make Katie Underwood squirm. It's
you
the
do,
way
don't
we
you?
Do it. We do.
Yeah,
aren't you glad you found us?
Oh, look, well, I'm still not recovered from bloody Gwyneth's goopy, all right?
I feel like we need to send Katie a shirt.
I will never recover from that, ever.
All right, speaking of action underneath the beds, let's talk about action on top of the beds. It seems that the anti-sex beds in the Olympic Village may be fake news. The cardboard-based beds can safely hold up to 200 kilograms or two people, but the organisers of the delayed Tokyo Games are set to give out 160,000 prophylactics, with sex being frowned upon in the village. That's 14 condoms per athlete. The Tokyo Organizing Committee says, our intent and goal is not for the athletes to use the condoms at the Olympic Village, but to help with awareness by taking them back to their own country. Mixed messages much.
Yeah. That, you know, they've known for years that the Olympic Village is like the hottest place in the world to hook up. I mean, every single Olympics, they do a story on how many athletes are hooking up right and left at the Olympic Village. If you're young and physically fit and got all that adrenaline and hormones coursing through you, of course you're going to hook up.
I was going to say, if you're a world champion gymnast, Olympic level, you're going to be able to do positions that don't require the bed. So the bed was just poorly thought out cock block. Can we say cock block? We're going to say cock block. They're going to get it on no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the organizers know that. And look, you know, we're not just talking about fit people. We're talking about the absolute pinnacle of human specimen. Mm-hmm. Even the normal non-horny person is going to go, yeah, I'll Nummy. Hit that and that one and her and him and maybe his friend and like, why wouldn't you? Especially when they've spent all the last 4 years like in a pool, on a track, up in the morning, not probably getting any, and then they finally arrive and go, yeah, smorgasbord. Thank you very much. I'll take those condoms and I'll take her condoms and his and everybody else's.
Yep.
So, yeah, look, I love the fact they can't condone sex, but they totally know that it's happening. All
I know. Can you imagine what's going on in those gymnast rooms?
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah.
Let me think. Can I imagine? Yes. Yes, I can.
And taking the floor now, scissoring. Go. Oh dear. But look, in other Olympic news, Brisbane has been announced as host of the Olympic Games in 2032. So you know,
we'll our premier was over there. I hope she wasn't getting it on. Give her a cardboard bed.
Did you see that she got in trouble live on international TV?
Orcs.
Because she said that she wasn't going, she was there as a, you know, as like a token symbol, but she wasn't going to go to the opening ceremony. She was only going to go to the function for the announcement and then leave. But the head of the IOC was like, no, you have to go. You don't know what it takes to open the Olympic Games. You don't understand that. Like in front of a press conference of worldwide officials. And you can just see Anastasia sitting there going, she's actually going, where's Gladys Berejiklian so I can fight her? But that's okay.
I feel like she was a bit out of her depth. But, you know, putting the political faux pas aside, I'm quite excited that by the time the Olympics rolls around, my girls will be old enough. I'm like, hey, in 2032 we can go up to Brisbane and go to the Olympics together. It'll be awesome. Of course, they've looked at me going like, what the? But, you know, in 2032 they'll be about 20. I think it's quite an amazing thing. I was lucky to be sort of up front and center on the 2000 Olympics in Sydney when I was in Bardo. And we got to go to all these events and it was really quite exciting. So as much as we're all giving Brisbane a bit of a hard time about it, I think it's really cool.
Excuse me, you're speaking to a performer from the opening ceremony, so...
Sorry, what?
Yeah. Sorry. We've been what? To each other's concerts. Woo!
I can't hear. How many
of
you have been done? Sorry, what?
Seven.
Where's Nikki Webster when you need to be upstage?
Look.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I must say that it was an amazing, like a totally amazing experience. And I think it's going to be another amazing experience for a whole new generation of kids that get to go out. Who performs to that many people? Do you know what I mean? Like thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people in person and then millions/billions around the world. And now it's even digital. So I can go on YouTube and go, that's me. You can see me for this long. Yeah, tapping my little heart away. Ooh, 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 breaking it down. But it was a long experience. It was a grueling experience and it was like a very secret experience, but amazing. Like one of the high points of my life. So it's so exciting, especially for the arts in Australia, like that's taken such a kick in the last 12 months. It's something to look forward to. Do you know what I mean? It's something, especially people that work in the performance industry, like I teach dance. It's something for those kids to go, oh, there's an opportunity. I could do that. I could do this. They'll be old enough. I think it's
so what you're it's saying great. Is that we need to cash cow our kids, prepare them now so they're ready to perform in this opening ceremony.
Let's go. You know that you did that for free.
I did that. Well, we weren't getting paid, trust me. We're getting yelled at. Okay.
As much as I can't wait to see Buffy dancing for the 2032 Olympics, she's probably not going to get paid.
No, Buffy will be ready to go. How old will Buffy
she
be?
She will be.
Oh, gosh, don't ask me questions when I'm going to do maths. 2032, what's that, 11 years from now? She'll be 15.
She'll be ready.
She'll
go.
She's mid-Ivan Nikki training. Webster.
I'll get her into training. She'll be good to go. Like, come on, Buff, you can do it. All right, so there's good things coming into the country, and look, there's bad things going out of the country as well, thankfully.
Oh, I know where this is going. Oh, my Lord.
No, <tolerance. laughs> I actually changed the title to this article because I think some people were slightly offended. Notorious Brit sent back to the motherland. Katie Hopkins, far-right British media personality, has been axed from Australian Big Brother VIP. We'll talk about that in a minute. And maybe kicked out of the country. Well, she was. After deliberately breaking Sydney hotel quarantine rules during the massive COVID outbreak, she reportedly said in an Instagram live video that she was deliberately breaking quarantine rules by taunting guards and opening the door of her hotel room without wearing a mask. Well, this is still the same. About 12.2 million Australians, nearly half the nation's population, are in lockdown. Caitlyn Jenner remains in captivity for now.
Oh, my God. Can I play devil's advocate?
You can, but you're going to get Hopkins shot down. Go for it.
Well, Katie Hopkins is reckless, and this is not the time to be poking fun at things when there's something very serious going on in the pandemic. But watching that live that she did, it was obvious to anyone that she was just taking the piss. She was completely being just ludicrous. She's like, oh, I went to flash my tits to the office workers, but there's none next door. They're all locked down. Like, she was just being a dick and saying she was going to, like, run down the hall naked in oil so the guards would slip off her, as if she was actually going to do it. But I could see it was problematic because she does get a lot of attention and the wrong kind of people could take it other places.
Katie Underwood.
You know, I've got an opinion on this.
Right? I know you do.
Far out. Look, I think, you know, I'm all for silliness and I get that some people make careers out of being attention-seeking pathological disruptors. But there's enough people in the world and particularly in this country legit think that COVID is a hoax, that there's some conspiracy, that masks are a waste of time and that the thing won't spread and that it's not real. We have enough trouble already convincing people that this is a real disease, vaccines actually work, et cetera, et cetera. And you've got this numbnut who's not even from here. Just, I mean, you're right, Luke, she was taking the piss, but how about cracking a joke about something that's actually funny? Not something that's resulting in real deaths and real long-term chronic illness. So I just think, you know, right idea, be a fool in quarantine, but don't fool around with actually, you know, potentially making other people sick and die. So, yeah, not so funny. You may as well have cracked a joke about the Holocaust than to try and make light of COVID.
I don't think she thinks the Holocaust happened, Katie, because she's one of those. She's one of those, and she doesn't, like, read the room, mate. There's people that are losing jobs, that are losing, like family-owned businesses from generations that have no financial security, and you're a rich, white, British woman that's here to guest on a VIP version of a reality show because you're here on a, what kind of visa? It's like a, something about unique talent visa or something like that.
Well, this is the bullshit, you know, and the other issue, even regardless of the breaching or not breaching or pretending to breach quarantine, is that we've still got, you know, tens of thousands of Australians stranded overseas trying to get home, desperately trying to get in the country, being told no. And this, I can't say what I want to call her, this idiot.
Called her a see you next Tuesday. It's all right.
You know, just making light of just about everything, you know, it's insulting. So next, swipe left, let's go. Or is it right? I don't even know which way you're right.
Katie's
I always get it wrong and I swipe. Sometimes I'm like, oh, finally there's someone I like. And then I swipe the wrong way. I'm like, oh, it's never going to happen.
Vera, do you know who Katie Hopkins is?
I only know who she is because you posted that on the page. But I you know, I got a bigger question. How did we get to this place in the world where these Holocaust deniers and vaccine deniers actually have sway over public opinion? How did we get here?
I'll tell you why. Because Katie Hopkins, no matter what she does, makes news. No matter what she does, makes the news. She is famously a see you next Tuesday. Like, there's no denying the fact that the woman's like a loose cannon. There's a really great video online actually of her making fun of people who named their children after countries.
And then she named her kid after
her daughter's name's India. You dumb bitch. Like, come on, seriously.
But that's why I think she just says the shit she knows is going to piss people off, and she's a complete hypocrite while she does it. But she's probably vaccinated, let's be honest.
Now is not the time. Read the room. So, and this whole visa thing about people, like, bringing these people in for celebrity, or it's not called celebrity,
but when you really think about it, VIP. Caitlyn Jenner's here instead of an Australian.
Caitlyn Jenner? Yeah. What's her talent? Avoiding manslaughter charges. Yay. Congratulations. Did you see the other one who is rumored to be here as well?
No.
Meghan Markle's brother.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, him?
Yeah. So much talent. So much talent.
That's like Melania came to this country on an Einstein visa. Extraordinary scientific knowledge to better our country.
Are you what?
Katie, I have to ask you a question.
Go.
If they offered you celeb VIP Big Brother, would you do it?
No.
Because the Australian reality TV industry is notoriously cannibalistic. They go after artists who have it recorded for a while and go, come on, The Voice. We want to exploit your life.
I tell you, I did actually get invited to go or to put myself forward for a reality TV show, and it was the only one in recent years that I felt really good about, and I was a bit bummed that they didn't choose me in the end. And it was, I can't even remember the name of the show now, but it was like this whole like full-blown commando thing where I was going to
have SAS.
Like,
yes.
Do it, Katie. They're still going.
No. Well, I'm clearly not like either famous or infamous enough.
Oh my God,
I'm not enough of a dick to go on TV. Yeah. Apparently.
Well, they put Chappelle Corby on that one.
Yeah, no, because I saw the thing and I'm like, oh my God, I would so love to do that. And then I don't know if I put them off because then I was a little concerned because I watched this clip where they like fell out backwards out of a helicopter and into the water. And I thought, okay, that'd be all like shades of scary. I would do that. But I'm thinking, hang on, how does that work? I wear contact lenses. So what do? Strap my glasses to my head or do I have contacts? They're going to fall out. So, you know, me being a nerd, I'm like, let's think about the logistics here. So I put that forward and I wonder whether that probably put them off. They're like, oh my God, she's already being a diva. And they probably just wrote me off.
Ex-reality contestant, too smart, got to go.
Yeah, too thinky.
She thinks with her brain too much, one.
But by comparison, look, I think I watched half, not even that much, quarter of the first season of Big Brother and then just realised it's basically a human lab rat experiment. So do I want to be a lab rat and be literally stripped naked in front of millions of people around the country to be made to be edited to look like a dick? Yeah, no. That's surprising why I'm not interested in doing Big Brother.
Not that you've done it before. Like you did the old school grassroots bloody reality. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we were the first. We were first. here's something I prepared earlier.
And 21 years later, we're still in the charts. Bring it.
Today's special. I'm going to milk it today just because. No,
go for it. Tell the people. Tell the people, Katie. Tell the people.
Here's some a band that I prepared earlier. we existed 20 years ago, and you think you're dead and buried, and then they exhume the corpse and they go, here, have a remix album. And surprisingly, in Australia, we're on top of the iTunes chart. So I'm a little bit proud. My baby band is 21 years old today. Wow. And still happening, still current, apparently.
Yeah,
so,
I feel like it's vindication for all of us that were, like even the fans that were like, so, oh, we love you. That, you know what, people still love you guys.
Yeah. So it's
doesn't matter if you still perform. It doesn't matter if you're still together. I think you guys came out at a very important time for TV, not only for TV, but for the Australian music scene as well, because we all know Australian music is either rock and roll or guitars. And here comes this very polished girl band out of a reality show that, you know, shouldn't have been talented according to everyone, and you guys like smashed it. So
I'm
way
just
to go, Bardo.
We got to shepherd so many baby gay boys and gay girls out of the closet and go, it's okay to be gay.
It is. It's okay to sit there with your, this is how long ago it was, kids, tape player and record Poison off the top, the Hot 30. Oh.
Yeah, and VHS was a thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I've still got my the Journey Begins Bardo video somewhere.
Crazy. Anyway, sorry, I don't want to hijack the whole thing.
No.
So let's go.
Let it go.
Thank you next.
You go let's for it. Continue. All right, let's there's no easy way to go into this one, but Matt Getz showed up at a Britney Spears rally and gets mocked online. Let's go to Vera for this one because she can inform Katie Underwood to see who he is.
Okay.
It's a member of the United States Congress.
What?
Yeah, I'm all about free Britney. I think the poor girl's been exploited enough. But you're a member of Congress. You have time to leave Washington, D.C., fly to the West Coast and attend a free Britney rally? There are people dying from COVID in this country. There are people, you know, starving in this country. There are bigger issues.
Vera, I think you're burying the lead. Why are people so offended that he's at a free Britney rally?
Because this man was arrested for trafficking underage girls, and he's at a free Britney rally full of underage girls.
So is he pro freeing Britney or pro putting Britney into human trafficking? I'm a bit confused as to what his angle is here.
Actually, so am I. You know, are you there to pick up women? Are you there to free Britney? Are you there to pick up Britney? Maybe you.
Well, you can't really advocate for people's rights when you've taken other people's rights away. Like what? What the fuck?
Maybe he's on the other side. He's like, no, let's keep Britney in a cage. That's the way we like her.
Yeah.
Look, she's kicking out of that cage. But she's kicking out of that cage at the moment. If you are not following Britney on Instagram, you need to get on that shit because she is telling tales out of school, left, right, and center. She really doesn't like her sister, does she?
Yeah, that was pretty apparent.
That came out of nowhere. Like, so she'd been reading Jamie Lynn to filth. Apparently, Jamie Lynn's like, I've never taken money from Britney and da 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 da. Cue someone looking up her actual deed to her $1 million beachfront house, and guess who bought Jamie Lynn's house?
Wow!
Whoopsie daisy,
$1 million.
And wasn't the girl?
Everyone's been milking that cash cow, haven't they? It's sad. It's sad. I feel like she's one of those, you know how vegans sometimes send around those videos of animals being horribly mistreated, which is tragic. But, you know, you've seen like the big pigs that get stuck in the cages while their little babies suckle off their titties. I feel like that's what Britney is, you know. She's just been this caged animal and everyone's been feeding off of her. It's terrible. Free Britney.
Yeah, free Britney.
Free Britney.
I am all about free Britney. I just can't believe Matt Gaetz was tone deaf enough to show up.
Very tone deaf. Very tone deaf. Speaking of someone who shouldn't be tone deaf but has come off quite tone deaf, let's look at this sucker. After making his Alzheimer's diagnosis public earlier this year, Tony Bennett will take the stage with Lady Gaga for two nights to celebrate their new album together and his 95th birthday. The event is being titled One Last Time. While at the time of his February interview, Bennett's condition did not affect his ability to perform. Sources say that his disease has since progressed. Is this a touching chance to farewell a music legend or a slightly opportunistic play playing on people's sympathy and a celebrity's misfortune? Opinion, Vera?
Can't it be both?
Vera, go.
Musicianship is one of the last things to go with Alzheimer's patients. It's something that keeps them sharp. Locally, there were several church musicians who played well into their disease process, but couldn't remember how to get to their car or drive, you know? So I don't have a problem with him performing. And I don't, you know, he's still in demand. And his work with Lady Gaga has been in demand. I say perform until you can't. And if it's the one last time, then yay, do it.
I think it's the title that's doing it for people.
One last time.
Baby. Yeah. I think, you know, it's like a music. Yeah, one more time. But
is because it because he's done, like, has he done a John Farnham and had like a million one last time tours? Is that why
Tony Bennett was performing until COVID, but I think it's the Alzheimer's thing. I think that they're questioning whether it is morally ethical, knowing that he is in this state of decline, to put him up on stage.
I think people at 95, I'd like to think that no one can force you to do anything you don't want to do. He's not some young Britney at 16 being forced to get up there. The reality is, and I can say this with great confidence, people who live and love music and make it their career, it's in your blood. And quite frankly, I would think that if he ends up dropping dead on stage, he couldn't be more happy with that outcome. Yeah. So I would say that the one last time thing is actually a genuine expression to the public to say, hey, there's a good chance Tony Bennett doesn't have very much longer on this world. And if you want to see him live, now is the time to step up and see him. And you've got to remember that all of his peers are dead.
Yeah.
He represents that golden era, the Rat Pack era, where all of those people are long gone, and yet he still is here. So I think, you know, what it's not just to the talent, or, you know, and it's probably not going to be his best show. And I think that's why someone like Lady Gaga is a perfect companion. She's going to buoy the talent on stage and make sure that the people who buy those tickets get a great show. But to really just honor this incredible icon of multiple generations, I think it's wonderful, and I support it. Look, sure, the marketing don't always get the language right, but hey, of all the things in the world to be offended by at this point in the global scale, let's not choose to be offended by one line in marketing, this beautiful man and this incredible other female performer who's going to be there helping support him. I say go until your last breath and do it with
that's what I say too.
With style and grace, which I believe that he will.
Yep. All right, Luke, you work in aged care.
I was just going to say, let's not be afraid of getting old and deteriorating. This is what happens. And if he has this huge platform and all this support and an artist like Gaga that's going to be there with him, I think it is a beautiful thing too. And it shouldn't be something that people are afraid of or like, that's wrong. Like, no, this is going – we're all going to get old. And if someone's going to celebrate our talents at 95 – wow.
Yeah. Yeah. My aunt has dementia and she still performs opera. She's not singing opera on a grand stage, but she's singing for the residents in her memory village, you know? Yeah. And it's one of the things that keeps her going, is getting up every day and singing for her fellow residents.
know? And it's good to see that, you know, it's good to see musicians like these iconic musicians admitting they're human too. So many times, especially from his era, you know, everything's fine. Everything's always fine. Everything's okay. And yeah, now he's like,
nobody's an addict. Nobody's secretly gay.
I'm living with this. This is what's happening to me, but I can still do what I love. Which leads us into this story. So Blink-182's Mark Hoppus, who opened up to his fans about undergoing cancer treatment in June, spoke more specifically about his diagnosis in a Twitch stream reposted to YouTube on July 13th. Hoppus revealed that he has diffuse large B-cell lymphoma stage 4A, meaning it's entered enough parts of my body that I'm stage 4, which I think is the highest stage. Hoppus says he has three more rounds of chemotherapy to undergo and joked, I hope I get the cancer in full remission, part of Walter White and not the drug manufacturer, part of Walter White. There has been an update to that story since we posted it. It looks as though his chemotherapy is actually working. So his condition is improving. But I think that is such an important conversation to have as well. Because he is, you know, not necessarily a young dude, but that whole millennial age group grew up with that music. This is the kind of thing that they need to start thinking about, especially when they've got children, they've got people that depend on them. We had this conversation on the show. Dudes are notoriously bad with their health, and if anything goes wrong, it's like, oh, well, whatever. When you have celebrities like this not afraid to show themselves not in the best light, like not looking 100% camera ready, I think it can only be a good thing. What about you guys?
I think it is. It's a nice indication that authenticity is being more well received than the old adage of, you know, just kind of you're always stage ready, you know, the show must go on. I think it's nice. And for all the reasons you just mentioned, to encourage other men, other human beings of any kind, to be more forthright if they're having a hard time, you know, and hopefully he will beat the disease. But if he doesn't, I'm sure he will tackle it with as much grace as he can. So, you know, I think it's nice. It's refreshing to see a rock artist expose some vulnerability and share some of his truth with his fans.
Yes, I agree. You know,
definitely, go Vera.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Live your life to the fullest. You know, be honest, be who you are. And if you can help somebody else by sharing your story, then go for it. You know, I wish him Godspeed in his recovery and hopefully, you know, or a nice passing. But go, you know, why hide who you are and what's going on?
You don't know how many people this is going to like help and affect either, because, you know, he has people that look up to him, and his diagnosis might cause them to go and get, you know, get
screenings, increase the screening awareness
or anything,
screenings,
more understanding, more. I think cancer is still such a segregated disease. Like, you don't know until you know someone who's going through it. You don't really understand. Like, the general public don't understand that. How many different types there are, treatments, options, all that kind of thing, how you can actually help people that are going through stuff like this. So all this information can only help, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We're on our little high horse today, aren't we? We're doing well. Speaking of someone else who is doing great things, Mr. Ashton Kutcher. So Michael Thomas or... Gargiulo, who killed young Ashton Kutcher's then girlfriend Ashley Ellerin, 22, has been sentenced to death for her murder, another killing, and a third attempted murder. Ellerin was murdered in her home in 2001 as she prepared to meet Kutcher, who explained that he was late to pick her up, and she did not answer the door when he called. He then looked inside and saw bloodstains that he thought was spilt wine. However, on closer inspection, Ellerin was found stabbed 47 times. At the trial, prosecutors argued the 22-year-old was killed by a man who was jealous of Kutcher. Like, that's some intense crap to go through. And I never really had much of an opinion on Ashton Kutcher. But this has been like public knowledge for a long, long time. And I think that in, 10 years past, I think celebrities would have gone, not my business, not part of my brand, blah, 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 blah. Mm. He obviously wants to see justice for this girl, which is amazing because he's been, I'm pretty sure, at every hearing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. You go, Ashton Kutcher, is my general message for today.
Yeah.
Anyone?
But just how horrific. Oh, look, I just think it's complete. Yeah. We can't even fathom that kind of
violence.
And what he, like the trauma that he would have from that too. Yeah. It's pretty just awful. And I don't know what else to say.
Good guy. He, one of his pet causes is underage trafficking. He's been lobbying against it. He's spoken before Congress. He has invested his money in green technology. He's invested his money in really wonderful causes. I mean, as much as, you know, you can say celebrities need to shut up about politics, I think Ashton Kutcher has lived the life and walked his truth, you know? And the fact that he is looking for justice for this girl doesn't surprise me based on everything else I know about him.
Mm.
So Ashton Kutcher gets our thumbs up seal of approval this week, basically.
Yeah, why would he? Yeah.
Human, decent human Ashton Kutcher should read the news. All right, let's talk about, we're going to get into some girl power because it's always important to have a bit of girl power in your life.
Sorry, what?
Now,
DeBardo.
I was
going
to be like, get it, Katie, get it.
It's going to keep happening.
As you guys were always promoted, the Australian answer to the Spice Girls, DeBardo. It's like, well, the redhead did leave first.
All right, come on, give me some girl power. I'm ready.
You're going to be uniquely experienced in this one, Katie Underwood. So you're going to go first.
All right. Okay.
Will Michelle Pfeiffer reprise her role as Selena Kyle in the upcoming Flash film? With Michael Keaton throwing on the Batman latex again, rumors have swelled that Catwoman may also feature. The last Pfeiffer commented on this story was in January 2021, where she stated, "I would if anyone asked me, but no one's asked me yet." You've spent some time in some latex. Who do you think's the best Catwoman?
Look, I love Michelle Pfeiffer. I would love to see her reprise the role. But I don't know what sort of shape she's in. And what I do know, having worn latex, is you cannot lie in latex. Every single frigging bump, lump, curve will be shown. And so this is for better or for worse. So, you know, if she was happy to get back in the latex and felt she could put herself forward proudly. But look, let's be real. It's Hollywood we're talking about. And generally, female actresses tend to be considered dead once they're over 30. So I think her chances are slim to none. But frankly, you know, I would love to see any mature woman, you know, rip it up in some latex and go wild. God knows I would again if anyone dared ask me. So bumps and lumps be damned. Go for it.
Well, look.
Well, I know Michelle was sewn into that costume back during the filming of that film and she would have been in peak, you know, form. But then I would say if they did do it again, they would probably use a body double and put her head on that.
Yeah, either that or, what else? Do you know what they could do these days? They could probably just put her in a morph suit and CGI the latex on her. Yeah. So she didn't have to get in the suit at all.
Well, that would be disappointing.
But look, from what I've seen of Michelle Pfeiffer these days, she's still pretty banging. So
yeah,
I think it'd be
look,
great.
She'd have my vote for whatever it counts. I think she would, you know, and it's as far as being the young femme fatale, I mean, I don't know how many women over 40, you know, but they're a lot more deadly on multiple levels than some young 20-year-old fifer. I say put the modern-day fifer in the suit and watch out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And own that sexuality. But, you know, actually, I watched a clip of Eartha Kitt as Catwoman in the old 60s show. She was amazing too. So Pfeiffer still wins it for me because I think that Burton film was great. But I did enjoy Eartha. It was a bit campy, but she knew what she was doing with it. It was
good fun. Do you know who would rock a Catwoman just on that Eartha Kitt vein? Grace Jones.
Yeah.
Oh, could you imagine?
Great idea.
Could you imagine?
I saw her in concert only a couple of years ago, and she's like when she came to Melbourne.
Jealous.
And we didn't have great seats. I was like so far back. But anyway, the whole concert, so I'm seeing her perform. It took me halfway through the concert to realize that she didn't actually have any clothes on her upper body. She was just wearing
she loves it.
Body paint. I was like, far out, woman. She was just sexuality on that stage all over the place. And I don't know, she's 70,000 years old, but man, I would love to see her in that.
Grace Jones was like the one believable Bond girl that I thought, you know, could beat the shit out of James Bond. You wouldn't mess around with Mayday.
maybe Marvel need to cast her as like she plays a good villain. I think Grace Jones would play a brilliant villain. But let's talk about some more casting in the DC world, because Batgirl has been unmasked. It seems HBO Max have chosen its Batgirl with Leslie Grace, who recently starred in the big screen adaptation of In the Heights, tapped to don the cowl as Barbara Gordon after Warner Brothers spent this week testing actors. The Afro-Latina singer-actor joins Batwoman star Javica Leslie as the first woman of color to play their characters on screen. Alicia Silverstone and Yvonne Craig have also previously played the character at the big and small screens. DC are stepping out the box, which is great to see. Fantastic to see.
Yeah,
Viva La Raza.
Yeah, so she is Batgirl will actually be the first HBO Max movie to debut on their streaming service. So it'll be very interesting to see. Batgirl's a very loved character. Like, you might not think it because, like, you think Batman and Robin, but she's a very popular character. She's very pivotal in the DC universe, and to typically played by a white woman.
Can I make a confession?
Yeah.
I know it was a really shit film, but I actually really liked Alicia Silverstone.
I love Alicia Silverstone. It's me, Barbara. It's okay. I love Alicia Silverstone.
I think it's great. I actually saw In the Heights. I don't know if everyone else has seen it yet or not.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it was incredible. And to see such an amazingly talented cast of varying backgrounds and skin tones and whatnot, which is how the world is now.
And
you know?
Sizes.
It's just that's how you walk out in the street, and there's people of all shapes, sizes, ages, colors, you name it, we've got it. So I think it's really great that we've finally seem to be seeing diversity on screen, and not just as a tokenistic here, let's do this one, but like In the Heights, it was just all about this cultural community. I thought it was spectacular. So she was great in that. I'm sure she'll be incredible in this.
One more superhero woman that's made the news this week. Aliens celebrates its 35th anniversary.
Wow.
Aliens. The movie that cemented Sigourney Weaver as a fucking kick-ass bitch, man. How good is Ripley? I would, even to this day, and I am putting it out there, that scrapped Alien movie that was supposed to happen needs to happen. I want to see modern Ripley kicking ass, because Sigourney Weaver can do no wrong in my eyes, and Ripley is a legend. But that's making me feel old, because
and bring back little Newt. I didn't like what they did in Alien 3, just like, oh, let's just kill all that cast off in the opening scene. Now bring it back.
Mostly. All right. These girls may not, actually, they're not even girls. They're ladies. They may not be heroes, they may not be superheroes, but they are heroes to generation of women and gay boys. Greece, The Rise of the Pink Ladies, a sequel series set before the events of the iconic 1978 movie Greece, has just been picked up as an official series order at Paramount Plus. The series, originally intended for HBO and titled Greece Rydell High, is set 4 years before the original film, before rock and roll ruled, before the T-Birds were the coolest in the school, before fed-up outcast girls dare to have fun on their own dreams, sparking moral panic that will change Rydell High forever. The 1978 film featured Pink Ladies Rizzo, Jan, Marty, and Frenchie, but with all new characters to star in the series, it appears we will get to meet their predecessors before they take their mantle as seniors. I am so excited by this for some reason, and I don't know why. I think it's because... who doesn't love the Pink Ladies, though? Like, everyone's like, I want to be Sandy. I was like, nah, bitch, Rizzo is where it's at, right? Rizzo is the original badass bitch. And I feel like entertainment's going in this weird kind of like backward stroke where, like, in the 90s, everyone was like, I am an actor and that is what I do. I do action movies or I do drama. Now, to be a celebrity and to be a successful celebrity, you've got to go back to being able to sing, dance, act, be da 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 da. So you get an old school Hollywood kind of vibes there from like these kids that obviously are this talented, but I feel like we're going to get better stuff from these people that are more well-rounded, as opposed to, you know, chucking Sally Joe that's been in a reality show for 2 days onto a set of a drama and expecting her to act. It's like, go! Well,
you know, the stage-trained actors on Broadway have long since, you know, been the icons that, you know, I remember when Madonna and Pretty Woman, Julia Roberts tried to take over Broadway, and they sucked. And you know, Julia Roberts had the grace to say these actors can outwork anyone. You know,
everyone, please read below.
I know.
Ace has a confession. I have never seen Grease.
I haven't seen Grease 2.
Grease 2 is amazing. Ignore Michelle Pfeiffer. It's amazing. Sorry, Katie, go.
Well, you're either into musicals or you're not. I mean, if you haven't seen Grease, you probably haven't seen Sound of Music and those sorts of things. You know, it does represent that bygone era where almost all those movies, you know, were musicals. So that was just sort of the way it went because it, as Vera pointed out, it was sort of bouncing off the concept of Broadway and bringing it onto the big screen.
Right.
But look, I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a moment. I'm honestly not quite sure how I feel about going back and portraying something in an early 70s. My concern is that in the, and I might be overthinking this, I probably am, but in the current trend of women, you know, fighting for equality and being empowered and Me Too movement, all of this, it seems really interesting to me that Hollywood or the powers that be want to go back to a simpler time where girls were still sexually harassed on campus and didn't tell anybody and had teen pregnancies. And remember how that was? I'm just like a bit,
I don't know.
It just feels a bit like, bleh. I don't know.
If they go there, but yeah. I think that the advent of all these streaming services that we're seeing much more diverse product and much more quality product.
True.
You know, the death of the big Hollywood studio picture is creating this mass market for lots of cool little projects like this.
Yeah, and definitely. I think welcome back the concept of the triple threat. The dancer, singer, actor, yes. Bring that back. Yeah. Bring the art back into artistry and bring the entertainment back on into film. So I'm definitely pro all of that.
And I think with the thing with, especially with that, is that they will focus on what the time was like, you know, the attitudes of the time, but those characters will be rebelling against, you know, against societal norms, which is what you want to see. It's the kind of thing you want to see. And
did Mad Men take off in Australia? Did you guys ever see Mad Men?
Yeah, it wasn't huge here because it was on like a pay, it was on Foxtel. So it was on cable here.
Right.
So it wasn't on free-to-air here.
Everybody loved Mad Men, and I found it repulsive. It's like the norms of that time that they did capture were just like, oh, God, really? Men walking around like that? God, ugh. You know?
All right, we've got one more amazing lady to talk about, and she has pulled, I was going to say it, but them, out of the bag this week, guys. What are we thinking, Dolly? So Dolly has recreated her iconic Playboy Bunny cover shot as a present to her partner for nearly six decades, Carl Dean, for his 79th birthday. Dolly posted the following on Instagram. Wonder why I'm dressed like this? It's for my husband's birthday. Remember some time back when I said I was going to pose for Playboy magazine when I was 75? Well, I'm 75 and they don't have a magazine anymore. My husband... My husband always loved the original cover, and I was trying to think of something to do to make him happy. He still thinks I'm a hot chick after 57 years, and I'm not going to try and talk him out of that. Now, those boobs are ridiculous, but she looks pretty great, right?
She's just got a great sense of humor about it all, and I love it.
She does have a great sense of humor, and she's really wonderful, but she's got to stop. There's a point where you got to stop.
Look, Dolly's Dolly.
To give up the knife. Give up the knife, Dolly. You look gorgeous. What? You can rock that, and doing it for your husband's cool, but stop having the surgery.
No, you know what? I used to think she was that, you know, dumb blonde model as well. But in fact, when you dig in deeper, Dolly Parton has not only had a huge amount of success as a singer-songwriter in her own right, but has penned so many hit songs for so many other people. And she was smart enough to realize that she needed something to help her cut through, and that if it worked for Marilyn, it was going to work for her. So although she's incredibly intelligent and talented, she knew that that still was not going to be enough to bust in and carve to bust into the country music industry and leave it unchanged forever. So, but look, I agree with you, Luke. I think she does have a great sense of humor. You know, she's taking it tongue in cheek. She's never taken herself seriously, where other people have looked at her and gone, oh, that's very serious. She's the one laughing all the way to the bank behind those double, triple, quadruple D's or whatever they are.
I'm not offended by the boot. I just think her face is starting to look a little comic.
But well, look, you know.
As the humanitarian, she was deeply involved in the AstraZeneca research and the Johnson & Johnson research for COVID. She funded a lot of that research here in this country. She did.
Yeah,
and I think that's the thing. We need to remember that beauty isn't skin deep. And although she's clearly done some things with her skin, her beauty radiates much deeper than that. And her impact on the world will not be forgotten. So, you know, I'll forgive her for a little playful rehash of a Playboy cover. I think that's if that's what you need to do to get a laugh at 75. Go for it, bitch.
I really wasn't trying to shame her.
Her famous quote is, it takes a lot of money to look this cheap. She is an amazing human. I love Dolly. I think Dolly can do no wrong. Yeah. And someone else who can do no wrong is our very own Vera. It is that time of day, Vera. Are you feeling warm?
Oh, my
up?
God. Well, I got to tell you. Go ahead. No, I have.
You ready? Okay. Ready. Yeah. It's time for Vera Vent. Let's go. Okay, our Lady V, are you ready? 1, 2, 3, vent.
Tonight's rant is about body shaming, and I guess I kind of just shamed Dolly a little bit.
Hot beat the kettle.
I have to self-flagellate a little bit here. I was going to talk about the myth that every fat person is unhealthy and every thin person is healthy. And I just feel like it's a lack of compassion to put that out there, that fat, that body positivity is promoting unhealthy lifestyle, because you don't know who is unhealthy and who is not. You know, the guy from Blink 182 probably didn't know he had cancer for the longest time. He probably presented as healthy every day of his life, you know. And I've, at one point in my life, the healthiest I ever was, I worked out every single day. And I still weighed over 200 pounds. And I still got laughed at the gym. But I had a heart rate in the 50s. You know, I was pretty fucking healthy. But, you know, then one back injury and you're out of commission for 6 months and you don't get back to that habit. So, you know, it took me a long time to get back to exercising and stuff like that. But you can't look at a person and know what their road is. So I think that you need to be compassionate in all that you do. You know, there's plenty. One of the thinnest people I know always assumed that she was healthier than me because she was thin and I was fat. And as much as I love her, she's dead and I'm not. You know, she smoked every day of her life and she's no longer here. But it's about compassion. It's about not judging someone based on their appearance. And yeah, I said Dolly should put down the knife, but I need to shut up and about this too, because if it makes her feel better, why should I care?
Yeah.
Well said, Vera. And look, I think, you know what, I heard rumor that they were, I don't know if they're still doing it post-COVID, looking at doing a 9-to-5 sequel.
I would love that.
I actually did hear that too.
With the original, could you imagine those three back together again?
But they've talked about it. The three of them have talked about it for a while. I think that, you know, it never synced up according to different interviews that I've read, but they loved working together and they felt
well. Jane and Lily are hilarious on Grace and Frankie. I think I will actually weep when that show's over. I've grown to love that show so much. It's like the Golden Girls. It's a show that never should have been like successful because, you know, they're old people. How dare you? And it's like this. It's one of the most funny, touching shows that you're like, oh, this is amazing. And
can you hear the fireworks going off in my background?
Oh, slightly. I didn't know. Didn't know what was happening. But all right. So yeah, making the best of a bad situation. Katie Underwood, you are firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk to us a little bit about what you're doing with your online stuff lockdown?
You mean my Insta life?
Yeah, everything you're doing, my love, everything.
Oh, okay, right. So, yeah, look, I don't know. I think I moved through this lockdown announcement pretty quickly. The first day I just felt totally devastated. I had to cancel 3 sold-out events and I was had a massive pity party for myself and I booked the pity party for myself and I went, right, I'm going to feel horrible for one full day and I'm going to really enjoy that. And then the next day I was able to move through it. So I just moved straight into like surrender. So I have all this time. I can't work. I can't leave my house. Well, you know, can't go and do other things. So what can I do? What do you do when a creative person is left to their own devices? We make music. And so I've been really, really excited and I put it out to my online tribe. I'm like, right, requests, hit them, hit me. I'm going to take. So my whole thing is basically I will take a song and I will tear it apart and remake it. So my ways for doing that is I have a keyboard, I have a looper, a Boss RC-505 looper for those who like to know tech stuff, and I've got my voice in, so I'll just kind of like recreate these versions of things. So some of my covers are almost unrecognizable. Others are more of an honoring. So like I did one of my favorite songs, My Island Home by Christine Arnoux, who's an Australian artist.
I loved it.
So
amazing.
Beautiful. Thank you. And I mean, when I watched it back, I thought, oh, okay. I did, you know, fiddle with the arrangement and I did different chords, but I tried to replicate how I hear it in my head when I hear that song. Then there are other versions like Fever. I ripped it up a little bit and
Fever
twisted
was great.
That.
It was great.
For those who know the song, classic late 90s, Dub Be Good to Me by Beats International, I had a ball ripping that up and doing different things. So, yeah, look, if you're interested in seeing old songs done in a new way, I'm kind of alternating beats versus ballads every day. So on Insta, you can catch me there. And I'm trying to deliver at least one song a day. So usually it's around 6 or 7 o'clock Australian time. And I drop the new song. So I'm having fun with it. Apparently a few thousand people a day at least are having fun with it too. So, yeah, it's keeping me sane.
I want to make another suggestion because I didn't really get to think about it. I want some Annie Lennox, Katie.
Someone's already suggested Sweet Dreams, which I used to say.
No, I want solo Annie Lennox. I don't want
like Walking on Broken Glass, Annie.
Ooh, yeah. Or even, Katie.
Because the challenge for me is not to just do a nice cover. It's actually to take the song and figure
reinterpret
out.
Reinterpret it.
And like one of our radio stations here, Triple J, they have this thing called Like a Version. Which is, you know, you'll get good bands to cover other people's songs but do it in their style. So it's like, okay, how do I Katie-ify this particular ballad? Or, you know, you take maybe a famous ballad and turn it into a dance track, or take a dance track and turn it into a jazz cover, you know? So that's the challenge and the fun for me. It's like, how do I take this much beloved song and sort of take it apart and then put it back together in a way that's still cool, you know? So
you know what would be a good song, Katie? I'm going to do a suggestion too. Just because I think, you know, it fits with COVID and what music's doing for you is like Keep Me Hanging On. Like the Kim Wilde version, but really like smash it up.
Yeah.
That could work.
Yeah, look, I've had lots of good suggestions. I'm going to give you – so there's a few that I've written on my shortlist. So at the moment, on my shortlist, I've got Son of a Preacher Man.
Oh, yes, work. Yes.
It's going to be hard to twist that up, but I'm going to do it. Higher Love. We've got Feeling Good by Nina Simone. I've done My Island Home. Like a Prayer by Madonna, which I think might be today's project. Yes. Blackbird, Let It Be, Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
I love those.
So there's like heaps of really really great songs there. So, you know, we've got, I think if things go well in Victoria, there might only be another 5 days of this before I get too busy to continue doing it. But if we get unlucky and have an extended lockdown, then it means my little Instagram fun will get an extension too. So we'll see what happens.
Katie Underwood, Lucky by Britney Spears.
Sorry, what?
Lucky. Lucky by Britney Spears.
Oh, no. Actually, do you know what I'd want to do? My favourite song of Britney Spears is Toxic.
Toxic.
Yeah, do something messed up to Toxic.
I would need to find, I don't know how to mess that up. But, I think Like a Prayer by Madonna is absolute filth, and I really want to bring that to the fore. So that's going to be today's exercise. So, yeah, if you're around, check back in online in about, I don't know, a couple of hours, and I'll have it ready for you. Yeah.
And definitely, if you don't already follow the lovely Katie Underwood on social media, you definitely should. Not only for her covers, but just for her everyday life. She always put a bit of a smile on my dial, Katie Underwood. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It is much appreciated.
And we will love you all and leave you. Guys, thanks for joining us on Uncensored Radio Live this week. Wash your hands, wash your face, and don't touch other people. Bye. And Katie Underwood, just before we leave, if people haven't already checked something out, you know, online, they should probably jump on and have a listen to a remix album that dropped today, should they?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, what?
Guys, check out the Bardo remix album. It's out today. Bye.
Bye.